Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's take a quick preview for the doc today. First, set Jose Alba free. That's right. Charges against the gangster's girlfriend should be filed. Is Amber Heard going to get a new trial? The Uvalde shooting video will be released, and it's the video of nothing taking place. Not sure exactly when, but we'll explain. Imagine being taken hostage by your patient. Don't mess with mom. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. First, I want to thank everybody for joining us. All the happy birthday wishes. I want to say thank you very much. It was a very, very good birthday. We'll talk more about that on Tuesday night on our live show, which is Tuesday, Mountain Time, 6 p.m. All right, you know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like the video if you do. Leave me a comment below about what we discussed here today. All right, let's get to the docket. First, new surveillance footage has emerged in the bodega worker Jose Alba case, trying to fend off the gangster he stabbed to death and his girlfriend as the pair attacked him in the store over, a $3 bag of chips. Now, Alba has been charged with second-degree murder for the incident that took place on July 1st. He used the store's box cutter to stab Austin Simon in the neck and chest after he charged into the store wearing his $350 Armani t-shirt, demanding that Alba apologize to his girlfriend, you know, for her EBT card not going through. Well, she had tried to buy, the girlfriend had tried to buy a bag of chips, but her card was declined as she tried to pay for the items. Now, Alba refused to let her have the chips, well, because she hasn't paid for them, which sent her running in a rage to call her boyfriend for backup. The girlfriend has not been charged, despite video clearly showing her stabbing Mr. Alba in the arm. Now, after some public outrage last week, Alba's bond was lowered from $250,000 to $50,000, and he was let go after posting the required 10% of that bond. Now, Simon, who was on parole for attacking a police officer when he died, you know, marched behind the counter to confront Mr. Alba. And you can hear it on there saying, "Papa, I don't want a problem, Papa," Alba told him calmly. Simon charged into the Blue Moon convenience store minutes after his girlfriend tried to buy the bag of chips for her daughter, but the EBT benefits card was declined. Now, the woman claimed Alba snatched the bag of chips from the child, is heard on the video asking Alba, "Did you put food?" Alba responded that he'll try her card another time. "Okay, Mama, let me do it another time. My God," he says to her as she insists, "there's money on there." He scans the card multiple times and hands it back to her, telling her it's not working. Now, edited footage cuts to show another customer in the bodega as the woman is heard yelling out of the view of camera. This is what she's saying. "You can't touch my daughter. Don't snatch that out of my daughter, you effing piece of..." The woman had reported that Alba snatched the bag of chips from her daughter's hands when they couldn't pay. She continues, "I'm going to bring my N down here and he's going to F you up. My N is going to come down here right now and F you up." Nice lady. Nice lady. Real classy for sure, isn't she? Well, Alba tells her that it's not his fault and that the card was simply not working. What is he supposed to do? Another woman asked, "Did they take something from you?" Alba replied, "No, I took it back." Simon can then be seen on the video storming into the store and walking behind the counter where he confronts Alba. "What's up with you, N-word? What is wrong with you?" he yells at him. Alba was initially held at Rikers Island on a $250,000 bail until that was reduced, and he had to pay the $5,000 in the kind of the wake of the security. Well, the soft-on-crime Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg has refused to answer questions regarding his office's charging decisions in regards to the Jose Alba case. "I say self-defense. Let Mr. Alba go. Charge that classy dame for stabbing Mr. Alba. It's a $3 bag of chips, and your benefits card doesn't work, your EBT, but yet your boyfriend's wearing a $350 shirt. after he gets out on parole, why didn't you just pay with some cash? Why didn't you just use your own card? All this over a $3 bag of chips. I say charge the classy dame. Next on the docket, Amber Heard. She submitted additional information to the judge there in Fairfax County to support her claim that a juror who found her liable in the defamation claim against Johnny Depp was not the person summoned to jury duty. Now, Heard's supplemental memorandum provides additional allegations about a person listed in court documents as juror number 15. The original claim about the juror were first discussed in a post-trial motion filed about a week ago. Heard's attorney said that they have discovered new information that the person who showed up for jury duty was born in 1970, but the person who was actually summoned for jury duty was born in 1945 and should have been 77 at the time of trial. Both the person who served and the person who summoned live at the same address and share the same name, according to the supplemental memorandum. Now, as the court no doubt agrees, it is deeply troubling for an individual not summoned for jury duty nonetheless to appear for jury duty and serve on a jury, especially in a case like this. This was a high-profile case where the fact and the date of the jury trial were highly publicized prior to and after the issuance of the jury summonses. Now, the supplemental memorandum explains that the Virginia Supreme Court each year randomly selects jurors from a list of registered voters in the Fairfax area, and the names on that list are then used to issue jury summons for civil and criminal trials during that term. Now, failing to seat the proper jury violated Heard's due process rights, is what Ms. Heard and her attorneys are claiming, and a footnote in the document sums up some of Heard's contentions. Mr. Depp would be incorrect in contending Ms. Heard somehow waived this argument by not raising it during voir dire. Not only were the voir dire questions ruled on in advance and the parties limited those questions during voir dire, but the responsibility to ensure that the potential jurors participating in voir dire are the ones listed on the jury panel rests with those individuals and the court. Due process entitles litigants such as Ms. Heard to rely on the basic assurance that potential jurors are those who they say they are and the individuals that have been summoned by the court. Now, Amber Heard's attorneys did file this motion prior to the end of the trial to request the identities of the jurors be sealed for 1 year. The name of the jurors would typically be made public record. So let's talk about this for a second. Is this a ploy by the juror, you know, to get on a case, kind of a jury run wild, so to speak? Is there misconduct, innocent mistake, worthy of a new trial? Interesting issues. Yes, the court certainly has a duty to make sure you got the right jurors there. Normally, that identifying information is on the information that is given to the attorneys. You would think that they would say, wow, that person looks like a young 70-something years old when they're only 50, right? But apparently they didn't. Obviously, Johnny Depp's attorney is going to say, hey, you didn't raise the issue. It's waived. And you basically accepted this juror. It's kind of a little bit on you. However, the court probably should have inquired themselves, but apparently nobody did. Certainly embarrassing for the court. Little embarrassing for all the parties, but the juror was accepted by both parties. I don't know what the court will do, but I somehow don't think that they are going to get any relief from the district court judge, because district court judges don't like to admit that they made mistakes. They usually rely upon the appellate courts to tell them that they're wrong. I once had a judge tell me that somebody would get a new hearing when the appellate courts told them they got a new hearing. That's what district court judges do. They make decisions and move on. All right, next on the docket, Uvalde. State and local officials will release footage of the Uvalde police response to the school shooting on May 24th that left 19 students and two teachers dead. The footage will document how cops stood back for 77 minutes as school shooter Salvador Ramos stalked across the parking lot at the Robb Elementary School and broke into the building carrying a rifle. Authorities did not say when the footage will be released, although it is expected to come out sometime on Monday. And they said that they are committed to continuing to put pressure on the situation and consider all options in making sure that the video gets out for public view. That's this commission that's looking into it. Officials have previously admitted that the situation could have been stopped within just 3 minutes after images from surveillance footage inside the school showed heavily armed police officers holding ballistic shields, aiming their rifles down the hallway. That image was taken at 12:04 p.m. on May 24th, 46 minutes before Border Patrol agents entered the classroom and fatally shot Ramos, that coward. And more than half an hour after the first, after he first entered the building and started firing. Now, the officers were stopped by the police chief, Pete Arredondo, who claimed the suspect had barricaded himself inside and said they needed to get a key. I remember when the Columbine incident took place here in Colorado. And after Columbine, where originally the tactics were you sit tight and you basically wait outside and try to communicate, and police realized that's not a good tactic because people were being slaughtered inside. So tactics changed, which was you go in and you confront the cowards, because they're cowards, ladies and gentlemen. They're cowards, they're weak. Just go in and get them. Do you think that the officers should have ignored orders from the police chief, a guy who wasn't even on the scene and just went ahead and gone in? That's what their training was. The Border Patrol agents went in, ignoring orders. They killed the coward. My hat's off to the Border Patrol agents. I hope it was a dead shot right between the eyes, and I hope it was painful for that coward, okay? Back in the military, it used to be simple, all right? Simple tactic. Locate, close with, and destroy the enemy. You attack. You don't sit back and let them slaughter people. That is complacency. Complacency is not a tactic. That's where you just get more of what you're trying to prevent. It never works. All right. A Florida man was shot in the head by police as they tried to rescue a female therapist he allegedly raped and tortured during a terrifying 15-hour ordeal. Can you imagine being kidnapped by your patient? Well, I think his name is pronounced Alswang. Tizvi Alswang. Well, he survived the shooting and was in critical condition when he was taken to the hospital. This was last Wednesday. The suspect was transferred to the Palm Beach County Jail, where he remains as of right now. Now, the victim, who's not been identified, was held at knife point as cops from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office forced their way into Alswang's Boca Raton home on Saturday. He was shot after refusing to drop a knife. Now, the female therapist was transported to the hospital and treated for injuries she sustained to her face, body, and head after being tortured, beaten, and raped during the 15-hour horrifying ordeal. Details from the police affidavit reveal that some of the torture that the victim endured included the suspect biting her nipples and raping her multiple times. Alswang faces charges of armed false imprisonment and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. According to the police, the female therapist told investigators that she went to Alswang's home for a scheduled therapy appointment on July 1st. The therapist told the detectives that she was aware that Alswang had a sexual battery charge as a juvenile. Part of their therapy was focused on helping him get a job and prepare for an interview. She said that she had gone to Alswang's home a number of times before, but there was someone usually home. This time he was alone, and after their session was over, the victim said Alswang began asking her inappropriate questions. When she attempted to leave, she saw that the window on the front door was covered up. The blinds to the windows had also been covered. The therapist claimed he became aggressive and told her that she could not leave. He then took her phone away, placed it in airplane mode, and wrapped it in aluminum foil and duct tape. He then bound her hands behind her back with duct tape, according to the affidavit. Now, during the next 15 hours, Alswang viciously beat the victim all over her body with his hands and knees at least 4 to 5 times. Now, the victim said Alswang's attempted to strangle her. He placed his arm around her throat and put her into a chokehold and grabbed her throat and thought that she was going to die and pled for her life. She also said that Alswang's erratic behavior would change from being calm to becoming angry and then sexually aroused. Alswang, who stands at 6'2" tall and weighs roughly 200 pounds, dragged the victim through the parents' two-story home. And officers from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department conducted a welfare check after the victim's partner grew concerned when the victim did not respond to the calls. They didn't get any response when they knocked on the door, so they left. But about 2 hours later, officers again visited the home after receiving a call that her car was in the driveway. When police arrived at the house, they heard a woman screaming for help and forced their way inside. And Aswang then forced her into a dark closet into the master bedroom, apparently to attempt to hide from the police. Now, in the closet, Aswang held a knife to her throat and threatened to kill her if she screamed. Now, the victim said that Aswang became sexually aroused and wanted to put one of her mother's favorite dresses on. Okay, this guy, obviously we know he's dangerous, and he's just a little sick in the head. Police eventually found them in the closet. It's unclear whether he or she had on his mother's dress, but they ordered Aswang numerous times to release the victim. When he refused, the officer shot him in the head. Once again, nice square shot. We like that, but unfortunately, he survived. Now, Aswang's father later told detectives that he and his wife were away in New York during the night of the attack and that their son was away at a camp, which detectives said gave Aswang time to prepare for the attack. Aswang was taken to the hospital for treatment after being shot and is now in custody. At the first court appearance, he was denied bond in order to have no contact with the victim, obviously. Now, the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office suggested that the officer who shot the suspect is on paid leave, and they're investigating what took place between the suspect and the victim. Aswang's next court date is August 8th. I think that police officer should be put back on duty immediately because clearly he solved the situation. He ended the situation. Aswang's probably going to sue him now, saying that you could have tased me, you could have done anything else you could have wanted to do, but why'd you have to shoot me? I go with the shoot. Go with the shoot option. 8, don't mess with mom. A New Mexico mother held onto the hood of a moving SUV as it crossed an intersection. It wasn't just any SUV, it was hers. A woman allegedly carjacked her and her two young children remained inside. Regina Castillo is now charged with unlawful taking of a motor vehicle, aggravated fleeing, a law enforcement officer resisting, evading, obstructing, and 3 counts of failure to appear on 2 warrants for child abuse. Once again, real classy dame. Officers said they responded to the 4th of July to the area in regards to a stolen vehicle. A mother parked her vehicle in front of a store and went inside. But upon her return, a female stranger, later identified as Castillo, shoved her out of the way and entered the vehicle. The stranger drove off with the Hyundai Santa Fe, while the mother's 6-year-old daughter and 11-month-old son remained in the vehicle. Now, footage here shows the mother telling police that there was children inside. She was going that way, and she was going crazy. The stranger ended up abandoning the girls at the intersection of Apache Drive and Fowler Street before the police pursuit began. The pursuit ended when the suspect abandoned the stolen vehicle and fled on foot, and officers saturated the area and located the subject behind a pickup in a residential neighborhood. The subject was taken into custody and, as I stated, is identified as Regina Castillo. At the time of the arrest, she had 3 active arrest warrants for failure to appear for charges of concealing identity, shoplifting, and failure to appear in traffic. Castillo has previously been charged with crimes including battery against a household member and resisting, evading, and obstructing a police officer. Once again, quite a catch. The children were checked by EMS and reunited with their mother. Castillo remains locked up in the Hobbs City jail. And then finally today, our dumb criminal. Authorities in Florida have arrested this guy. Take a look at him. They said he fondled himself while watching women in 2 different locations, once at a cemetery and then once at a post office. So our dumb criminal, Daniel Ray Simpson, he's accused of touching himself and sexually pleasuring himself in public. The first alleged incident happened Saturday at the Brooksville Cemetery. The victim advised that while she was visiting the gravesite of a friend, she just happened to observe a male nearby inside the cemetery who was only partially dressed. The victim observed the male to have his pants down to his ankles and to be pleasuring himself as he watched the victim. The man put on his clothes and fled on foot after realizing that she had seen him doing what he was doing. The next day, a similar incident allegedly took place at a post office. There too, a female citizen contacted the police. Simpson allegedly said hi to the victims while they were both inside the post office. The victims ignored the male and quickly left the building. Now, while approaching her vehicle, the victim turned her head to be sure that the male was not following her. While looking back, the victim observed the male to have his pants unzipped and pleasuring himself. The victim quickly left the area and contacted law enforcement. Our dumb criminal of the day. Now, it was turned out that Simpson was the man of both incidents, and he was arrested facing two counts of indecent exposure, exposure of sexual organs, and obviously remains in custody. He is being held on a $10,000 bond. Now he can drop his trousers anytime he wants and do that. Oh, that's right. That's even against the rules in a detention facility. All right. Thanks for watching. Had to do a quick show today. Got to go do a preliminary hearing in a homicide case. Please join us tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Mountain Time for our live. We'll talk about great stuff. It's going to be a great show. Want to thank everybody. And oh, don't forget, new merch. Take a look at this. Go check it out. Buy one if you want. Have a great day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.